Wednesday's program. How you doing? Thanks for joining me. It's coming up for 5 o'clock here in the UK. Tis meself. Who else would you expect at the end of the day? It's your call this evening. I'll be taking your calls in around about a half an hour's time. I'll give you the details momentarily. Failing that, you can join me through Twitter. You can leave a comment at BBG Richie on Twitter. Wednesday's show, April 7th then.
It's the BBG, not the BBC. You're listening to the Richie Allen Radio Show, live from Salford in Greater Manchester.
It's the Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
I love it. Yes, I'll give you the contact details now in a moment. Welcome to the program. The phone in is your call, so you can talk about anything, but you might very well want to talk about vaccination, COVID certification, COVID passports, vaccine passports. I'm just giving you one or two hints. You can talk about whatever you want to talk about. So join me. I'm going to give you the details right now. In about 30 minutes' time, I will open the phone and the Skype. The best way to contact me is via Skype. I say best because it's the cheapest way. The Skype details. The Skype name is Chat with Richie. All one word, Chat with Richie. Chat with Richie, all one word. If you want to phone me, though, inside the UK, it is 0161 818 2018. I'll say again, 0161 818 2018. Overseas, plus 44 161 818 2018. The meme, with all of those details, the meme has been posted on Facebook and on Twitter, so you can find it there. If you didn't understand my crazy accent reading the numbers there, I've given it you now. Like I said, in a half an hour's time, we'll have a chat, you and me. All right, so the big thing today then is whether or not there should be some suspension of the Oxford-AstraZeneca vaccine because of evidence linking it to rare blood clots. Well, it was announced this afternoon that under 30s are to be offered an alternative coronavirus vaccine to the AstraZeneca one because of claims linking it to rare blood clots, according to the MHRA, the Medicines and Healthcare Regulatory Authority in England, says that 79 people in the UK, as far as it knows, have suffered rare blood clots after getting the AZ jab. 19 of those people died, according to the MHRA, which went on to say that's still not any proof the jab has caused the clots. Now, my pal Spiros Skouras of ActivistPost.com and, of course, of Spiros Skouras' YouTube channel has been in touch with me this afternoon. There are a number of lawsuits in France. A number of lawsuits have been launched, undertaken by people who believe that they have been injured seriously or that someone belonging to them has died after getting the AstraZeneca Oxford vaccine. All right. So the MHRA said today, it's not proof that the jab is responsible, but it did acknowledge the link is getting firmer. So they're saying when the under 30s are invited for their vaccine, which they don't need, which is madness to begin with. They don't need it. No, nobody needs it. But we won't get into that right now. They're saying they'll offer them an alternative. So there was a press conference today, as you might imagine. It was attended by four people, two people who don't really matter, and June Rain, the chief executive of the MHRA, and Jonathan Van Tam, England's deputy chief medical officer. So you had a pair of gombeans, and you had June Rain and Van Tam. Let's hear a little bit from Jonathan Van Tam. This now is important on the change of advice for the under 30s.
This is a change in clinical advice for the under 30s. It will require some changes in the way that the National Health Service operationalises the vaccine rollout programme. But I have spoken to my colleagues in the NHS in some detail this morning, and I am assured that actually because of our supply situation in relation to alternative vaccines, the effect on the timing of our overall program should be zero or negligible. That, of course, is contingent upon getting the supplies that we expect to get of the alternative vaccines, which are the Pfizer vaccine currently in use and the Moderna vaccine that we hope to bring into deployment from mid-April in England.
Yes. And the, well, the vaccine rollout continues, says JVT. And the blood clots then?
This is a vanishingly rare, but sadly quite serious adverse event. But it is
vanishingly rare, but quite serious.
It is vanishingly rare.
Vanishingly rare.
And you can't pick these kind of things up until you have literally deployed tens of millions of doses of vaccine. And therefore, for the vaccines not yet deployed in large numbers around the world, we have to wait and see if we are going to see or not see similar signals. And therefore, it again reinforces the message that it's important to have many horses in this race.
Many horses in this race. That sounded like an analogy. I'd like another one from the king of analogies.
But this is a kind of massive beast that we are driving along at enormous pace with enormous success, this vaccine programme. And, you know...
But he can't say that. Enormous pace, yes. Enormous success, they won't know for years. We know already. But they won't know for years because they can't possibly know how these gene therapy drugs will affect people over a period of years, let alone weeks or months anyway.
If you sail a massive liner across the Atlantic, it's not really reasonable that you aren't going to have to make at least one course correction during that voyage. And I frame this very much in those terms. The NHS has a message that we will get the right vaccine to you in the right time, according to the new JCVI advice.
We'll get the right vaccine to you in the right time, eh?
There might be a small delay sometimes. There might be a slightly greater distance that some people are asked to travel. But the NHS is all over this and understands the challenge of making the advice from JCVI truly operational in a smooth way.
So the NHS is all over it. We'll get you the right vaccine at the right time. And then he sums up, wind it up there, JVT, wind it up. And he reminds us, all of us watching, I mean, he's fairly chilling about it, that no matter what, the vaccines are the only way out of this godforsaken existence, yes.
I want to emphasise to everybody that COVID-19 remains a serious illness, that unfortunately, as Professor Whitty has said, it is something we're going to have to live with in the long term.
It's not a serious illness.
Vaccine is...
It's a mild infection.
...is likely to be and continue to be extremely important in this country in getting life back to normal. We are managing this very carefully. I hope you've seen real evidence today of authentic experts looking after your interests, doing the very best they can.
Yeah, but what about all of those experts, tens of thousands of doctors, scientists, academics, epidemiologists, virologists? What about those that have been banned and denied access to the airwaves and been labelled COVID deniers? What about them? Many of them have far more respectable qualifications than Jean-Claude Van Tam or his pals. What about those experts who say that there's no need for the vaccine rollout? In fact, it might be very dangerous and that this whole thing has been one big scam. What about those experts? Because I didn't see any experts sitting on that panel of four today. I saw four Bill Gates whores, basically. Four whores for a vaccine rollout. I mean, this is a commercial enterprise, this, isn't it, eh? What did he finish with?
It is a course correction, but nevertheless, it is full speed ahead with the UK vaccine programme so that we can get life back to normal.
Again, life back to normal as long as we get the vaccine programme on track and everybody takes their vaccines. I won't play you the audio, but there were a number of, again, experts in inverted commas on UK television news this afternoon who were talking about the need, wait for it, going forward for 95% coverage or 95% uptake in order for herd immunity to take hold in the country, and that the country wouldn't really be safe unless 95% of the people in the country have accepted these vaccines, or one of these vaccines, Jonathan Van Tam. I'll tell you what was interesting about that, was shortly after that briefing concluded, former Health Secretary Jeremy Hunt was on Sky News pretty much immediately after that, and was interviewed by Sam Washington, who had this to say to Jeremy Hunt.
You can't ignore the fact, though, that from the data that they presented, it is extremely rare to develop these side effects, but if you do get the side effects, the chance of fatality from them is about 25%.
Wow. So if you happen to be one of these unlucky people to get a blood clot, well, one in four of you are going to die, basically. So that's as close to a good question as we've heard in 2021 so far by a UK television presenter. So what does he say, Hunt?
Yes, but you've also then got to look at the risk of getting COVID and dying from COVID.
Yeah, the risk of getting COVID is negligible. The chances of dying from COVID are astronomical. Astronomical. It's 0.02% of those who get it who die, and the vast majority of those were people on their way out anyway. There's no danger of death to me or to you or anybody else under 80, right?
And for the vast majority of people, it will be massively safer to take the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine than not to take it. I'm one of the people who's had my first dose of the Oxford AZ vaccine. And for me and for many people, it's massively safer. And what they're saying today is that it is also completely safe for young people to take this vaccine as well because of the risks to them of coronavirus. However...
What? Listen to this. I mean, this is horse shit. Even Chris Whitty has debunked this nonsense.
For young people to take this vaccine.
Listen, we'll scroll back a little bit there. Listen.
Today is that it is also completely safe for young people to take this vaccine as well because of the risks to them of coronavirus.
There's no risk to young people from coronavirus. They don't get it. They don't suffer it. They don't come down with it. And they don't pass it on to anybody. I mean, this is dreadful. Even the so-called sage experts acknowledge that there's no danger to young people. The only reason they're recommending that young people take the poison is to protect granny from getting coronavirus, not because it's any threat to the very young. This is dreadful stuff.
However, you can reduce that very, very low risk by using an alternative vaccine, and wow, that's what they're seeking to do.
Jeremy Hunt there, the former health secretary, speaking to Sky News. I mean, it's propaganda 24/7 on television and radio news programmes. Propaganda. Listen to this by Nikki Campbell, BBC Radio 5 Live breakfast co-presenter. This is as bad as it gets. There was a time when Campbell would have been suspended or maybe even been fired for what is nothing more than an infomercial for AstraZeneca. Listen.
Listen, on the subject of vaccines, we've got the AstraZeneca, of course. We've got this news story about the ultra cautious approach, which, as we've been hearing from people, is quite proper. But the dangers of getting a blood clot are absolutely infinitesimally small. But anyway, we've got the Pfizer, we've got the first doses of Moderna, which uses the same technology as the Pfizer. That's in Wales today. Vaccines coming, Novavax, Janssen, Valneva as well, should be available this year. Extraordinary scientific progress and achievement. Remember the time when we said, yeah, you know, we might not get a vaccine. They've been tumbling out. So I think we should think about your call a little bit later on. Questions and answers.
Infinitesimally small, you know, says Campbell, who's not qualified to say that. never forget that these are massive corporations that have manufactured this poisonous crap that they want all of us to take. This is not a government science. This is not a government scientific department owned and run by the people for the people. These are mega fucking corporations that have spent years putting dangerous and bad medicines in the marketplace. Medicines that have killed millions of people and has resulted in these firms being sued successfully for billions of pounds. Billions. All of these companies, Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Johnson & Johnson, billions of pounds for knowingly putting bad drugs in the public sphere, knowingly for falsifying data, for going to the poorest countries in the world and paying buttons to the poorest people in the world to take part in dodgy trials. That's who produced these vaccines at the speed of light. And you've got a media and a political class in lockstep, hand in hand, pressure, propaganda, to take something you don't need to take. Because coronavirus, whatever it is or was, is no threat to you or the person standing next to you. It isn't, by their own data. Read the stuff. For fuck's sake, read the stuff. Read the data on gov.uk. Read the MHRA data. Read Public Health England's data on coronavirus. The vast majority of people do not get it. Of those who do get it, the vast majority don't even know they had it. Why do you think they're begging people who haven't sneezed in 2021, let alone coughed, to take a fucking test to see if they have antibodies for a virus, even though they have no symptoms? It's madness, this. Madness, and there's no opposition to it. Outside of this radio programme, the only radio programme in the UK, and I don't say it to brag, it makes me sick to have to say it. Nobody wants to take this on properly. It's unbelievable now, the levels it's getting to, you know. And this morning, you had guys going on the radio and on the television saying that, oh, Oxford University guys now, coincidentally, right? You have guys going on the radio saying, I tell you what now, we've done a bit of a study and we think that people diagnosed with coronavirus are more likely to develop dementia, depression, stroke and even psychosis. Horse shit. No evidence to back it up. All theory. We can't make a causation link, but we suspect it. These are the same people who've spent the best part of the last 6 months linking coronavirus to everything and anything you can imagine. The same arseholes. Oh, every week, it's like every week or 2 weeks, every 2 or 3 weeks even, let's say a couple of times a month, they come out and go, diabetes, yeah, heart disease, stillbirths, yeah, miscarriages, yeah, kidney failure, yeah, sore toe, stuttering, hiccups, yeah, tinnitus, yeah, memory loss, hearing voices. We link these to COVID, the boogeyman. And they have to tell these stories. They have to keep banging away at the minds, at the brains of the population, because if they don't, the public might just look around them and say, Jesus, this is a load of bollocks, isn't it? I don't know anybody who's in hospital or was in hospital. I don't know anybody who even had coronavirus. I don't know anybody who got really sick with it. So to prevent people getting to that stage where they might start thinking for themselves, it's never-ending fucking bollocks. Hiccups, kidney failure, stillbirths, diabetes, depression, linked to a respiratory infection. A mild respiratory infection. I'm losing it today because I really cannot see a way out of this now. I can't see any way out of it. 19 minutes past the hour. Nothing is going to stop this. You know, you have a story breaking this afternoon about Legoland, right? A theme park, because next Monday, the 12th of April, things open up again in the country. Outdoor things, theme parks, zoos, swimming pools and outdoor hospitality basically opens up again. And Legoland has come out and said, listen, you can come to our park if you want, but you have to wear a mask on the rides. You have to wear a mask in the park. Anybody over 11 has to be masked up, by the way. Eh? And by the way, you have to follow the government's rule of six and you can't mix with other groups in the park. We'll have additional hygiene and safety measures in place. You'll get a temperature check when you arrive. There'll be one-way systems. Enhanced cleaning. There might be delays between rides, between one ride starting and the next one starting again after that, because we have to clean down the entire ride every time. They're warning people of this, you know. You get on some ride on some roller coaster and you're in a queue, you're 50 or 60 back in the queue, you might be waiting all day long. Because when it's gone around once, we've got to hose it down with disinfectant. And then we've got to do it again. And again and again and again. They've even talked about screening people in queue lines. Social distancing markers everywhere, Legoland. Jesus wept. Is that for you, is it next Monday? Is that for you next Monday to do that? I'd rather run barefoot through a room full of Lego than go through that. I'd rather help deliver a breached calf than go to Legoland under those conditions. I'd rather play hide and seek in a pile of elephant shit than go to Legoland under those conditions. I'd rather listen to the audiobook of War and Peace read by James O'Brien from LBC than go to Legoland under those conditions. And there's no opposition to it anywhere. You know, you have the Labour Party saying, you have Jonathan Ashworth, the Shadow Health Secretary, and Keir Starmer giving lukewarm opposition to it. Oh, we're not sure we can vote for this. They'll vote for it. Because they'll be told a pack of lies about a limitation being imposed on vaccine certification or COVID passports. They'll be lied to. They'll be told, it's only for a few months. We'll put a time limit on it. And they'll vote for it. They'll vote for it. They'll vote with the government again. It's absolutely tyranny. 22 minutes past the hour. I'll be taking your calls in a few moments' time. The memes are on the top of the Facebook page, and it's the last tweet that I put on, by the way. The last tweet, I think, that I put on the Twitter page. All the details are there. I'll be taking your calls for about an hour, maybe a little bit more. We'll see how we get on. Lots of tweets coming in as well. I'll read those as we go along. In fact, I'll read some in a moment. But in the meantime, I'm going to take a very quick musical break. Here's the Pasadenas then. And I'm doing fine on Wednesday's Richie Allen Show. Live from Salford as usual. Super Salford. 22 minutes past the hour then. Yeah, if you want to legally change your gender, it's going to cost you a tenner as opposed to £140 from next month. The cost of applying for a gender recognition certificate will be cut to single figures, according to government sources. The BBC on this story this afternoon. I think you've still got to get a doctor to sign off on it. The existing process requires, doesn't it, 2 medical reports, I believe. I know a lot of trans activists don't like that. They want to bring in, or they would like the government, I should say, to bring in self-identification, where anybody at any time could change their gender and just say, this is my new gender. Yes, and pay the £10 fee now. It'll be £10 as opposed to £140. But don't fear, don't despair. You still need 2 medical reports in order to proceed with the madness. But anyway, I'm not going to get into that. It's 26 minutes past 5. BBG Richie on Twitter. This is the Skype name for the programme. It's Chat with Richie, all one word. And Richie isn't spelled with a T. So it's Chat with R-I-C-H-I-E, all one word, no spaces. And the phone number inside the UK, 0161 818 2018. Outside the country, it is +44 161 818 2018. But I wouldn't advise it. It's expensive to be making a call to the UK from outside the UK. If you are outside the UK, the best way to go about it, as I said earlier, is to drop me a Skype. And if I see your Skype coming in, I'll get you on the programme and you can have a chat about what's been going on. Do you think you might end up? And I've asked this several times, and it seems you don't want to answer me. Or maybe I'm naive. Maybe I'm underestimating you. Maybe it's a stupid question to ask you. You know, do you think you might end up having to take a vaccine? And you don't answer me when I ask that. So you either think I'm an idiot for asking you because there's no chance of you taking the vaccine, or because you don't want to get into it because you're worried you might have to. Because I know people. And I don't mean my other half, and I don't mean anybody in my very small circle, but I know other people who know what's going on, but find themselves thinking, if this plays out to its inevitable conclusion, because there's no opposition to it, none. If it does play out to what looks like its inevitable conclusion, I might end up taking it. Now, people I like have said that to me, and I have the utmost respect for them, you know. So I don't know. You might want to talk about that. You might not. Hi to Angela, who says, no way, I'll never take it. Thanks, Angela. I'm with you. I will never take it. No matter what. No chance, you know. No chance. Stephen says, Richie, did I hear you correctly? These clown experts have now decided 95% vaccine take-up is required for herd immunity. No problem then, says Stephen, since I think 99% will eventually succumb to all the threats and coercion and will reluctantly get the toxic experimental jabs. Stephen is as pessimistic as me. I'm in good form, by the way. I do not let this get me down. I don't. I can't. I take comfort. I take the pleasures and the things I have around me. I've accepted this. I accepted this months ago. I've had long, drawn-out conversations with close friends on the phone where I've expressed my exasperation. There's no stopping this now. So, at this stage, rather than, you know, talk about revolutions and pitchforks and all the rest of it, at this stage, you might be better served to think about how you can keep your own life on the rails. How you can keep yourself, you know, how you can keep yourself alive, I suppose. How you can maintain some sort of a decent life. That's the phrase I was looking for. Maybe that's the way forward now. To work on, well, how this is going to happen, I can't do anything about it. So how do I make sure that I have some sort of a livable life? That's the question. Now, if you want to take me on, I'm a nice guy. I won't shout at you. If you think I'm wrong, pick up the phone, get involved via Skype and have a chat with me in the next hour. While I open the phone and the Skype lines, it's time for another tune. Here's Barry White then.
I've heard
something moves.
I scream your name. Look what you got to do with darling.
Yeah, day one of DJ school, radio DJ school. Never sing along with the music, ever. Under any circumstances, 27 minutes to 6 o'clock. Listen, if you're ringing while I'm speaking with somebody, be patient. I will get to you. I promise I'll get to you. Skype name is Chat with Richie. And the telephone number is 0161 818 2018. If you're calling outside the UK, plus 44161 818 2018. Can't wait to say hello to Jackie, who's never phoned into the programme, but I've known Jackie through social media. She's in Australia. Jackie, welcome to the programme. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Richie, I've got a bit of feedback, I think.
Well, you're sounding good to me now. There might be
cool.
You're sounding good to me. Jackie, where are you in Oz?
Well, I'm in a little village on the far south coast of New South Wales.
Lovely. And it's late in the night there, but you're originally from the UK.
I am, yes. From the north.
You're from the north. Well, there's only one place to be from. If you're from the UK, from the north. I'm going to talk about
from
southern
Yorkshire.
Shandy. You're a Yorkshire lass. Jackie, thanks for connecting. I'm glad because I've known you through Facebook and Twitter for a long time, so it's lovely to hear from you. You get to open it up then. What would you like to tell us?
Wow, where do I start? I did send a little Twitter about an hour or two ago regarding what's been going on here in Australia with ScoMo. Today was a bit of a shock, even though I've been expecting it for a long time now. I now hear that Richie, I think you know about our Prime Minister. He did the no jab, no play some years ago for the kids in the schools and the kindies.
That's right. And he also mooted the idea of withholding benefits from parents, didn't he?
Exactly. Yes, yes, yes. And so that's how he got away with it, I guess. That was some years ago. Today I hear on I don't watch mainstream media. I don't watch any of that now, but I do watch YouTube. And of course, it all comes up in my feed. So I can actually watch what I want to. If there's a headline that I've missed in the Australian MSM, I can catch up with it that way. So that's what I do. And I was quite shocked to listen to one of the breakfast morning shows on Channel 7 or 9 or 10 or whatever it was, to hear that basically he's bullying everyone again by saying he doesn't see that they can have mandatory vaccination program here. However, there will be consequences for those that don't have the vaccine.
That's mandation by coercion, isn't it, Jackie? It's the same thing.
It's a nightmare.
So
it really is. And to answer your question, Richie, I will not be having a jab.
You'd never have it, no matter what, Jackie. And I was going to ask you about, do you get back to the UK often to see family, and would that be a factor?
Well, how long have we got? Oh, I'll keep it short. My partner Kim and I were planning on going back to the UK in 2019, in your summer. So that was a year and a bit ago. And that was a big plan because we hadn't been back for like 8 years. So that was a long time. I don't have much family in Britain anymore. They've pretty much all passed away, rallies and stuff. And got the odd cousin, of course, and we're not that close. But we love going back to Britain. It's where I love it. It's my home. However, my real family are in Perth, and I live on the east coast of Australia, and Perth is on the west coast. And I have my son and his wife and two wee children. And I did tell you a couple of years ago that I had problems with my daughter-in-law. I was going to say telling me, well, that's what she did. She told me I had to have a vaccination for me to be there for the birth of the second grandchild.
I remember you telling me this. I vividly remember this. Yeah.
And that was hard enough, you know. And I said no then. And so I didn't get to see the birth of my grandchild, even though I organized everything, the trip and everything. However, I got over that, and you know, we got over that as a relationship thing, and I have seen him since he was a year old. Now he's coming on three, so my plan was to go last winter to be with the two grandkids and to catch up with my son and his wife and my other friends in Perth, of course. And that didn't happen because of COVID. So we're now at a situation where I won't be going this winter either. So, I might never go. This is the problem. I might never, ever see my grandchildren again.
And no matter what, you wouldn't have. I'm not doubting you now, but this is so serious. This is what I was hinting at earlier on, because I've got this in my own family. My better half will not have it. And she's aware that it might mean that she doesn't get to see her mum in the near future. That's hard, Jackie.
Well, I can completely sympathise and empathise with Carolyn, because I know the feeling. And but I've drawn the line in the sand, and I seriously will not be taking it, because not because I'm certainly not fearful of having COVID, but I am fearful of two things. I'm fearful of taking a vaccine that I've learned a lot about the problems with it, and I haven't heard the safety side of it. And bigger than that, I have a very, very bad feeling about the coercion and the underlying perhaps evilness behind it, as to why we are actually being coerced into it.
What did you see of coronavirus around you in your own community, Jackie, over the last 12 months, I ask people all the time whenever I meet them, I ask them, did you have it? B, do you know anybody who did? Or do you know anybody who became ill? What's been your own experience with it?
My experience isn't... I can't really speak for Australians because it's a very big country. WA has been locked down pretty much for a year.
Yeah.
No, they're not locked down. They're totally free. The borders are closed. That's what I mean to say. Victoria, as you know, has had heaps of lockdowns where they've had curfews, mandatory mask wearing everywhere, blah, blah, blah. I'm in New South Wales. Queensland has just gone through Easter, where they had a 3-5 day
3-day lockdown they had. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm in the accommodation business. In fact, it's funny, Richie, because a year and a half ago you put a wee call out for, you know, if anybody wants to sponsor your show. I was actually wrote an email and I didn't send it to you. It was about a year or so ago. It was just we had bushfires here in January last year, followed by in March the COVID. So we've had quite some time of it. And I thought, I'd like to put some money into sponsoring you. And if you're not too expensive, I'd put an advert out for anyone in. This is not a plug, by the way, because no one can come here.
They can't come, no, but you can plug away anyway. Yeah. Yeah.
I gave up the idea, you know. But the point is that I had people coming from Melbourne at Christmas to come and stay in accommodation I have here. And they came. And then the day, 5 days before they had to go back, before their holiday was finished, New Year, the Victorian government decided that they're going to close it down and you've got 24 hours to drive wherever you are in Australia back to Victoria, otherwise go into 14-day quarantine. So my guests were not happy.
No, I can only imagine.
Answer your question, here in New South Wales, it's been relatively easy. The first 3 or 4 or 5 months was scary for everybody, just like everywhere else in the world. But for the last few months, it's pretty relatively free. However, they've just, in Canberra and New South Wales, I can't speak for the rest of the country, but they've just in the last couple of weeks or so mandated all the pubs, restaurants, clubs, you name it, where you've got to have your QR code on your phone to get in. So consequently, I won't go down that path, and therefore I'm very isolated because I don't go anywhere.
Yeah.
I haven't been to a restaurant or a pub for a year. I could have gone, but now it's like I can't go because I'm just not prepared to put – I'll throw my phone away before I download that damn QR code, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm lucky because I've got a beautiful place and I've put my energy into my garden. I'm growing vegetables, have been now for a year or two, and things are getting better on that level. So, lots of good food. And can I just keep you just for 2 minutes? I just want to tell you a good news story.
Go ahead, Jackie. I've got calls piled up here, but go ahead. It's going crazy. Go on.
I just want to leave it on this note that it's been like Groundhog Day for everybody, and I get up every morning and it's a nightmare to wake up to. But in the last couple of weeks, my partner Kim and I have spent, well, it's the last 3 weekends, one day every weekend for the last 3 weekends. We've taken the dog. We've got a little puppy too, by the way. He's a year and a half old border collie.
Madness.
And I'm so glad we've got him because it's something, you know. And anyway, so we've gone out. And because we live in a rural setting, we've gone looking for a bug out.
Right.
So we've got a camping finding site. So last on Easter Sunday, we finally found the place where we can go, and there's enough room for other people. Not many, but when push comes to shove, I don't know how long we'll survive out there, but there's running clear water, and we have two swags, and we have a car. You know, we're prepping.
Sounds idyllic, Jackie, and it's something I'm hearing from a lot of people. I mentioned it a bit earlier myself. I've given up on anything changing. I see this here to, you know, this being here to stay, and I'm kind of focusing my own, I suppose, efforts now on having some sort of an existence away from all of this. And I think a lot of people are going to have to consider that in the very near future. Thanks for getting in touch, Jackie. It's great to actually hear you. I haven't known you now for some years through social media. Yeah, it's a bit surreal, really.
Can I tell you, you are doing, I mean, you're doing us all a great service by being online and talking to us every day. I listen to you always, every day on Podomatic, because the time difference is so crap. But
crazy,
anyway, you know, without you, your voice and Michael Rivero and all your guests, you know, I love them all. And if it wasn't for you lot, I don't know where we'd be. So please,
you're very kind, Jackie.
Look up yourself, mate.
And you too. And lovely to hear from you. And the very best. And I hope that, you know, I hope against hope maybe, but that you will get to spend time with the grandchildren in the near future, Jackie, you know. Maybe I'm being a bit pessimistic today, maybe. But no, brilliant to hear from you today. Thanks again for calling in.
Thanks, Richie. I always talk to them once a week at least on Skype, I am talking to you now. So,
yeah, that might be the way of the future. Cheers, Jackie. That was Jackie there, who's was calling in from Australia, Western Australia. Jackie's been interested in the independent media for a number of years, got to know her on Twitter and on Skype. I've given you the contact, on Facebook, when I used to be on Facebook. I've given you the contact details now. The memes are on Twitter and they're on Facebook, the phone number and the Skype details. If you haven't called before, do consider doing it and getting in touch. Off to the mobile phone then. Caller, welcome to the programme. Who am I speaking with?
Hello, my name's Chloe. Actually, this is a bit weird because I hadn't thought I'd get through, and here we are.
And here you are. Did you say Chloe?
Chloe, yes.
Welcome, hello, Chloe. Nice to hear from you. Where are you calling from today?
I'm based in Kent.
Oh, you're down in Kent. Well, listen, you're through, and I'm delighted you are, Chloe. What would you like to say?
I actually had been trying to get through for some time, and I kept missing the call-ins and everything else, and it was when Dr. Coleman was on quite regularly, and I've been listening to you every day on catch-up whilst I've been working. My husband and I both work full-time with two children, so I'm sure that many other parents could agree that people in that position have had a very tricky time. I've actually got my two girls with me right now.
So it sounds crazy.
Sorry. So, yeah, the reason why I wanted to call is because I had a really interesting book on my shelf for some time, and it's called A Man's Higher Consciousness, and it was put together, I'm a bit nervous, so my voice is a bit shaky.
Don't be nervous, Chloe. Don't be nervous at all. No, you're among friends here, and I mean that. Take your time.
Yeah.
All the time in the world. So, go ahead.
This book was put together in 1962, and my husband pretty much read most of it, and I was sort of sitting beside him reading while working and everything else, and trying to get our heads around everything that's going on, because we've been awake for some time, but we actually used to listen to your show when you used to speak with David some time ago, and we just decided to, you know, and get on with things and do what we thought was right, like we haven't vaccinated our children and distilled our water and everything else. Anyway, getting on to the subject, this book was put together, and there were a couple ex bits in it that I wanted to read because I just thought it was so interesting.
1962, Chloe. 1962,
right?
1962,
yeah. Okay. The one thing was in there just mainly about how the common cold... Sorry. The common cold had never been... you know, no cure for it, and how exhaled air is poisonous and everything else. And I just wanted to read a couple things that I had saved to my phone.
Take your time now. Do not panic. Take your time. It sounds sounds like a madhouse there. Sounds fun, to be honest.
Yeah. Amongst everything else. So basically... there are a couple things. One was exhale is air is poisonous, and when obviously with everyone being mandated to wear masks, we definitely don't wear. It just said that at each exhalation, the lungs throw out enough toxic gases to poison a barrel full of air. The amount of poison eliminated by the lungs in 24 hours as carbon dioxide is equal to a lump of charcoal weighing 8 ounces. The poison goes back into the body when we inhale and we exhale what others exhale, and is the case where several occupy rooms do not adequately. I can't even read this. Sorry, I'm shaking. Adequately ventilated. Anyway, that this book just seems to go through a lot about mainly how the air that we breathe and waters that we drink and how everything is turning to gases and things like that in our body is so important. And what I think, if anyone could buy this book online, is really interesting. That
what's it called again, Chloe? What's the title again? So I can make a note of it.
Let me find it now, Richie. A man's higher consciousness.
A man's higher consciousness.
Yeah.
So you're exhaling toxins effectively, and if you're being compelled to wear a face mask, that must be doing you no good whatsoever. It must be
unhealthy.
Exactly. And I think Dr. Vernon Coleman has made this point repeatedly and in the book that he wrote about wearing face masks. Chloe, can I ask you, what's it been like for the youngsters this last 12, 13 months? How's it been for them?
Gosh, I wouldn't know where to start. There have been so many things going on. My eldest daughter started reception, where we've had to navigate through, you know, not wanting to use the sanitizers and the hand washing and temperature checks. We won't do any of that. We take in our own soap, which is something that we find the best thing, because after 2 days of going back to school in March this year, my daughter's hands were bleeding from excessive hand washing. We've had to battle with the school writing to us to say that, you know, it's basically the children's fault because they're not drying them, and we need to refer to the NHS hand washing information online. And you know, like your Legoland story. We wanted to take our daughter for a birthday last year somewhere, I can't remember, it was a theme park, but you had to wear a mask on the ride, do temperature checks on entry, and no matter what you said to them, like even links to the government website saying that the temperature checks don't actually prove anything, that you have any kind of virus, it's not good enough.
You couldn't reason with
them. Mandating this.
You couldn't reason with them effectively. And
exactly.
As for the hand washing,
it's very difficult.
I can only imagine how difficult it's been. Not having children, I can only imagine. I've not experienced it. So the school presumably is asking them to constantly wash their hands. I mean, from a psychological point of view, that's not a good thing to be telling children to do all the time, is it?
No, it's not. Luckily, our five-year-old knows. We've, you know, give her the PG version of what's going on and what we think is the right thing to say, and that we won't use certain products and won't wash our hands every 5 minutes. So she's sort of, as much as she can understand, she's on board with everything. The trouble we had when everything first happened was that we were both working full time. doing 2 hours on and off here and there, looking after our girls, trying to sort of do everything on our own whilst no one was allowed to come and help. I mean, at one point, I think my dad popped round for half an hour and someone called the police and we had a PCSO knocking on the door and we told him where to go in
no
a nice way, of course. But, you know, what we don't understand is no one has any critical thinking at the minute. No one is willing to sort of apply anything like what's going on. So,
there's no red line, Chloe. There's no red line. At least when I meet people who are blindly obeying this stuff, there doesn't appear to be anything that would make them stop and think, you're pulling my leg, you can't be serious. It's blindly following every directive, and I'm with you. It drives me crazy, really. I don't know what to do about people.
No, but like you said, and like many people have said, this is not going anywhere, and we need to navigate best how we can all get on with our lives.
Yeah.
But I think one thing that stuck with me after doing lots of research over the last year, at any minute spare, was one thing that Max Eigen said was, the problem is not whether there's a virus out there, whether there is, whether there's not, whether it's 5G, whether it's this, whatever it is, the problem is where are we going? Like, where is everything moving to? And no one simply cares. And one other thing that I wanted to mention about the schooling is that even our five-year-old, when they closed the schools earlier this year, they wanted them to do all their work on Microsoft Teams, like watching videos, and we just said, no, we're not doing that. We don't consent to any kind of screen time or computer use. If you want to give us homework and stuff to do, you send us some, paper sheets that we can print out and do. And
good for you, Chloe.
We're stamping our foot down and saying that we're not doing this stuff.
And what did they say? What was the reaction from the school when you said you wouldn't get involved with the Microsoft Teams? What did they say?
They understood. I mean, these children are 5 years old. They don't need to be doing computer work on a screen. I can understand like a 14-year-old and doing presentations and stuff like that, but they're 5 years old, and we know where this is going with all the AI learning and, you know, hey Siri, what's my English lesson today? So if people don't start saying no now, we're not doing that, but we'll do this, or we'll come and collect a workbook, then it's going to get worse and worse.
Asking Siri for your next lesson, that's exactly where it might go. And can I ask you this? I'm really curious now. I'll keep you here all day. You're not going anywhere.
I could talk all day.
A couple of things.
Every day while I'm working.
Oh, do you? Thanks for that. Yeah. It's really nice of you to say that. Down in Kent, down south, after the nasty things we said about Kent, me and Jackie previously, we didn't say anything nasty about Kent. We were taking the mickey out of the south. So I wanted to ask you.
Oh, no, that's all right.
So the children were not vaccinated. Was there any pushback against that from the schools or from the local health authorities? Did anybody try to change your mind?
Not initially. With Arthur's daughter, it was quite, you know, that's your choice. As long as you know the risk and then you've done your research on both sides, which we had. And we started this research long before we even had our first daughter, and we decided that then. But first it wasn't, and then with our second, she was born 2019, we had some more doctors and healthcare visitors trying to persuade us to, instead of, you know, being sort of on the fence with things.
Right.
But they couldn't answer my questions. Well, for example, okay, the measles vaccine or the MMR, it's getting a very big problem, and we're finding that it's the non-vaccinated children that are passing the measles on. Well, if those children had been vaccinated with the measles vaccine, that it wouldn't be a problem.
How could they? Exactly. How could an unvaccinated child be of any danger to a child that's been vaccinated? I love this, Chloe. This is a... this is good, yeah.
Sorry, Richie, two more things. I know you've probably got a lot of callers calling in, and I've called in to try and say hello and shout out and everything else. But the main argument with people is, you know, what about the people that can't be vaccinated? Well, if if they can't be vaccinated, there's a big reason why they can't, and that's because if they are, it's going to be very, very dangerous to their body. And
yeah.
if it's dangerous to someone who can't have it, well, it's also dangerous to someone who supposedly can. And only until this whole pandemic, it's not a pandemic, as many of my arguments with the security guards for not wearing a mask, is that only now people are attacking, you know, so-called anti-vaxxers. Well, and that's just another name for someone who has decided not to vaccinate their child. It's just a decision. And only now have I, people starting to say things about that since this has happened, because obviously we know they want to vaccinate people, which we called a year ago when everything was going to happen. But it's only just started now, and I'm sure it'll get a lot worse.
I think there's enough of us. I was pessimistic at the beginning of the program, but I think there's enough of us that we can somehow make our own fun and do our own things. I'll tell you what I won't stand
absolutely.
For.
Absolutely.
I've never considered myself to be, and I never make myself out to be a hero. I'm not a hero, and I'm not a tough guy, but I am a guy with a bit of fortitude. I'm planning, if this goes the way I think it'll go, I'm planning to get involved in outdoor events for people. For people like me and people like you, basically. Not events now where I'd be talking to people with a megaphone or any of that nonsense, but events where people would come along and have fun. And it'll be interesting at that point to see what the state decides to do about that. Because I'm not going to put up with being told you can't go and meet people, you can't hire a space, you can't hire a field, you can't hire an auditorium. I won't put up with that. That's something I'll push very hard against. But if the state says, okay, we'll back off, we'll let you unwashed or unvaccinated, we'll give you a bit of breathing space. Well, I'm happy enough with that. But we'll see how it goes. I don't know what it's going to be like in a year's time.
The other thing as well is that surely this vaccine passport rubbish can't go ahead because, for example, I know many people, including myself, that suffer with allergic reactions. So let's just say that people with allergic reactions can't have these vaccines anyway. So now, all of a sudden, the government wanting to be inclusive, all of the disabled
people
and people from different walks of life, well, now they want to now change their mind and shut all those people out who, obviously, I don't want to get it, but many people who can't get it anyway. So I just don't think it can happen, and hopefully many people will say no.
Hopefully. Hey, listen, just before I move on, the youngsters haven't been vaccinated. One of them is 5.
No.
How's the health? I bet you the health is really, really good, right?
Yeah, very good. We've just started with distilled water as well. Before reading your article on what's in and what goes on in the water supply. In that book I mentioned, it mentions about how good fruit is, and everything else. But yeah, the health is really good, and we look at keeping our health up in other ways other than pharmaceutical products.
Get on Skype, will you? Create a Skype account, and I'll get you back for a chat one afternoon about the parenting.
Oh, Richie, I'd love that. I really would. I've got so much to chat about.
No, I know. I can hear that. Yeah. So, what I'll do is, while I'm talking to you now, I'm going to make a note of your mobile number.
Yeah.
While I'm chatting with you, if I can do that, don't say it out loud now, because you'll be plagued by. I've got some proper loonies listening to me. I don't mind telling you, and I say that in a very kind way. And then. Three.
While
I think
you're
I've
writing
got
that down, Richie, I just mention one thing. My brother had a serious accident the day before lockdown. He's been in and out of hospitals, different ones, all year long, including during lockdown. I visited him at the end of March last year, and I have never in a million years seen a hospital so empty, with no ambulances, no noise, no one in the hallways, no nurses, no. I think I saw one cleaner when I walked to his ward before they shut out any visitors, and the ward was half empty, and it was the quietest, weirdest, eeriest thing I've ever seen. I know people have been posting videos and everything else last year, but to see it, and you say that to people and they don't believe you.
No, they don't, no. You know, and I know two nurses at Salford Royal Hospital. In fact, I know three, but I only know the third one through his partner, so I can't speak for him. But I know two who are in touch with me, and I obviously get emails from people around the country. That's what we hear, and not to mention the Nightingale Hospitals never treated a single patient either. Chloe, it was great. I've made a note of the mobile number, so I'll be in touch. That's a promise. Kids sound fantastic there. You've got your hands full there. What a cliche that is, but it sounds like you have. But thanks for getting in touch. I'm really glad you made it through. I really am.
And
the book, just before you go, the book is A Man's Higher Consciousness. It was written in 1962. I'll dig it out there. And I'll put a link out to it on Twitter and whatnot. So cool. Great stuff,
by,
Chloe.
Professor Hilton, it was.
By Hilton, Professor
very,
Hilton.
Very, very interesting book.
Sounds brilliant. Chloe, thanks. Great to meet you. And bye for now. That was lovely. Chloe and Kent there. How cool is that? Colm is in Dublin. I think I know who this is as well. It's been 3 or 4 years since I've chatted with Colm, I think, anyway, if it's the right one. It's 6:05. This is the Richie Allen Show for Wednesday, the 7th of April, 2021. It is brilliant to be chatting with you. Nice to hear from you this afternoon. The meme with the Skype details and the phone number has been pinned to Facebook and to Twitter. Trying to reach Colm there, but it's not happening for some reason. It's not happening for some reason. So we're off now. We're off now, I don't mind telling you, to Zurich. We're off to Zurich to talk to a friend of mine, none other than Patricia Braunschweiler. It's been a long time since Patricia has been on the programme as well. How you doing, Patricia?
Hey, Richie. Wait a minute, let me get rid of this.
Get rid of me. It's me on in the background. I can hear it. I can hear the echo. Get rid of it. Quick, smart.
I gotta get my phone over.
Now, you, my great friend, it's been so long since we spoke. Two things I've got to say to you. One, thanks for being a great mate, number one. And I mean that. And number two, you're the perfect woman to talk to now about vaccine passports. Because you are an Irish woman born in America to a great Irishman. But you've got family on the other side of the world. What might that mean for you?
Well, that means to me that if I have to get a vaccine to go visit them, I won't ever see them again. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to acquiesce to something that I know is totally wrong. I'm just not. As much as I love my family. Hold on for 1 second.
Yeah, take your time. Yeah, I can still hear both of us in the background there. Delayed. Yeah. Yeah, but Patricia is one of us. She's a Paddy, a plastic Paddy.
Yes, absolutely. No, listen, I just want, you know what? I was watching Dr. Vernon Coleman's last video on BitChute, and it made me so sad that there are actually doctors out there that tell the truth about these stupid shots. The ones that are honest don't even call them vaccines. And then they get demonized. And their lives, their whole reputation is ruined because they tell the truth. And I just find that to be so distressing and so disturbing. And that the doctors that actually speak out, we have to listen to them. Because the other people that are controlled by, excuse me, the Melania, whatever the hell her name is, Melissa or whatever, Gates and his Bill Gates, you know, we can't listen to it. They're not doctors. They're not scientists. Why are we not listening to the doctors that actually know what's going on?
Yeah, they're called them. They call
the ones that just want to make money from it. They don't care about health. They just want to make money. And you know, and I was listening to one of these on BitChute, and there are these doctors, Dr. Dolores Cahill. No long-term safety data for the long-term effects from these shots. Why are people giving in? Why aren't we standing up? Why aren't we stronger? Why are we so freaking weak? What's wrong with us? We know we're right. When we don't accept this BS, we know we are right.
I think we're 1 in 1,000. That's why. Now, I have no evidence to say 1 in 1,000. But I think for every person that has read beyond the broadsheet press or that has watched programs beyond Fox News or CNN, for every one person that's gone and looked elsewhere for information, sadly, thousands never have done. And that's why they're so complicit, I think, you know.
That's because they're too lazy. They're too lazy. They don't. They just accept. I think I told you this a long time ago. Ever since I was a little kid, my family always said to me, do you have to question everything? I always have. I always will. Because I don't take for granted anything that anybody tells me. I do research. It doesn't take that much time. I've had people say to me, oh, yeah, well, we don't have time to do research. Take the time. Your life depends on it. Now, there's another doctor, Dr. Johan Dennis from Belgium. We have no idea what the long-term effects will be from this experiment on humanity.
Yeah.
Who is willing to take that chance? You're either very lazy or you're just very freaking stupid.
Or selfish. Stupid. Or selfish, you know,
it's
because
common
you're
sense, Richie.
Yeah, it is. But again, you said that this was something that you had when you were very young, this stubborn refusal to take things
Irish,
as fact.
Irish.
There is a bit of that. There's no doubt there's a bit of Irish. Irishness to that, but it obviously came from somewhere. But again, we have family. Like you will have family members, I will have family members that will fit into the category of the lazy.
Yes.
You know,
not if I have anything to say about it, because I have contacted my family in Florida and have sent them so much information, Richie, and I am convinced that they believe that what I'm telling them is the truth, and they're holding back on this whole crap that's going
on. So you got a positive response, because my experience over the years has been with extended family and friends. I've got a kind of a patronizing attitude back. They're not really interested. And that's been my experience, you know. And even today, I occasionally hear from an old radio colleague or from an old schoolmate who finds my email address and sends me an email saying, when did you go mad, Richie? And I'm like,
Well, you know, Richie, the problem is people don't like truth. And when they have to question what they want to believe because it's easier, and then they hear another opinion and they have to question if maybe what they want to believe isn't really true, it takes a lot of effort. You know?
Yeah.
So maybe the truth is my family knows me, and I've always had this like an instinct for things that I knew were true and weren't true. And I think maybe it's because of that they're questioning what they're being told. And so people who question always get a little bit demonized. But when people take the time to actually research, and then they find out that, hey, wait, maybe there's some truth to this. But Richie, I know you have a lot of people trying to call. I don't want to keep you too long, but I want to tell you something right now. I love you when you totally Irish out on us because you get so passionate. But you have another side that has the patience of a saint when some people wouldn't. And you listen to people's thoughts and you listen to people's opinions. And that's what makes you so fantastic. You have both sides.
They're very kind.
And I will always be here. You know that. But I love you, Richie. And I don't want to keep you too long. I want other people to get through. So I appreciate that I could vent a little bit on your show, and I just hope people take the time to research, to look into what's going on, that we are being controlled, and it has nothing to do with health. It's all about money and control.
And control. Amen. Patricia, thanks very much for that and for the kind words.
Thank you. Thank you for everything you do to let people bring out their feelings, bring out their truth. It's what's going to help us all to get through this. Thank you so much, Richard.
You're very welcome, Patricia. Great to hear from you. It's been a long time. Patricia Braunschweiler in Zurich, who grew up in the United States, whose father is Irish, a good old friend of mine. Now, it's exactly 13 and a half minutes past six. This is Wednesday's Richie Allen Show. It is the phone-in programme. Of course, I'm taking taking your phone calls. If you want to know the details, go to Twitter, go to Facebook. I'll give them to you again. It's Chat with Richie on Skype. That's Chat with Richie, all one word, no spaces. And 0161818208 is the phone number. If you're calling from outside the UK, it's +44 161818 2018. I don't know why I've not had a jingle made. I get lots of jingles made from time to time. I'll have to get a jingle made so I don't have to keep saying that. Back to the mobile phones. Caller, welcome to the program. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, Rich, it's Sean.
How you doing, Sean?
I'm doing great. Great listening to you as well, Rich.
Nice to hear from you, pal. Where are you calling from?
I'm from Bradford.
You're in Bradford. You're in Yorkshire.
Just up the hills from you.
Just up the hills. What's on your mind, Sean? What's going on, mate? Where is it all going to end?
Well, who knows? It changes from day to day, to be honest. What you hear, what you believe, what you want to believe, I don't know. But to be honest, I was calling about Ken O'Keefe. An old interview you did. It put me right. I used to like Ken O'Keefe until I listened to you pulling him up and questioning him and questioning what he was doing. I've heard very little since then. Have you heard much about him?
No, God, no. No, there's a blast from the past now. For listeners who don't know, Ken O'Keefe was or is a truther who was involved some years ago in raising money for various causes around Palestine, but was pocketing a lot of the money himself. Was telling a lot of lies to people about where the money was going to go. And eventually he was caught out by the people he was working with and exposed himself on my radio show back in 2015, was it? Was it 2015? I think it might have been. But I don't know what the guy's up to now, to be honest. I hope he's well, because I wouldn't wish anybody unwell. But I haven't heard, what do we say in Ireland? Hide nor hair of him in years, Sean. So I don't know, mate.
He was a good orator, wasn't he? He was a very good speaker. He was believable. And he was quite high profile at one time. He was on RTE and he was on a lot of talk shows.
There was a bit of a sect, wasn't there? I used to talk about this. I used to rant about this and some people didn't like it. There was a group of them for years who made a living, basically, going around to various venues, telling people what they wanted to hear. And kind of making themselves out to be kind of celebrities. It's what I kind of call the truther industrial complex. And he was on that circuit. There's a number of them. And basically snake oil salesmen. And, you know, charismatic, many of these people, very charismatic.
Only with hindsight. At the time, I believed him. It was you that put me straight on him, actually.
Well, funny, he kind of put people straight, didn't he? Because after the people who'd got it, he did something called the World Citizen Initiative or something, which was a pyramid scheme. Yeah, he was asking people to send him money and to sign up two other people, and his promise was that he would get a legal remedy to end war legally. It was monumental bollocks. It obviously was nonsense, and he raised 100 grand or more, and then the money disappeared. There was never going to be any World Citizens Initiative. And after he was exposed by Max Egan, I think, and some of the people who worked with him, he foolishly agreed to come on with me to give his side of the story, and I just wasn't having it. I didn't have to do much, really. He destroyed himself, really, in an hour, didn't he? But that being said, I understand there are other issues going on there with him. There might be other issues, psychological. So, look, I hope the guy's okay. I wouldn't wish anybody unwell, no matter what they might have done, you know. Sean, what's going on, mate, with the way things are going? What's it going to be like in a year's time? What about yourself? I was asking the question earlier. You know, it's one thing to know that we don't need a vaccine. We certainly don't need something that isn't really a vaccine. It's a gene therapy drug. We know this, but for many of us, it might be difficult. You know, I've been speaking to people who might want to travel, whose family might live overseas. What about you and this vaccine?
I won't be pushed into a corner to wear a mask. Let alone have a vaccine. I've continued not to wear a mask. I do struggle with breathing, so I do have a valid reason not to do. But all the stuff that I've heard, the stuff that you've put out, put one mask on, then double it up and put
double
two
it
masks
up.
On. Absolute nonsense.
It's crazy.
Everybody stay, have a vaccine. Still stay 2 meters apart, and nothing's going to change, is it? Nothing's going to change. You put something on the other day, and I put it's a new religion. It really is a new religion. People have it with faith.
Yeah,
I've got faith in it.
If I know my Yorkshire men, and I know a few, you like your summer holidays. You like your foreign holidays. What about the idea that you might? I mean, if you don't have it, and I believe you, you won't have it. I won't have it either. And if I'm told that I can't travel overseas again for a summer in the sun, I'll accept it and I won't travel overseas. What about you? I mean, it's a difficult thing, isn't it?
It is for a lot of people. It's not for me because I'm not in a position to travel anymore. But I think it's a great thing that people might be exploring Britain again and finding out where you actually live and what Britain's got to offer. It's great to go abroad and have the beer and the food and a couple of weeks sitting by the pool and getting burnt. But there's so much more in Britain.
It's funny when you put it like that, because a 2 week break in the sun is generally not a holiday, really, is it? I mean, I've done it myself. It's basically sitting by the pool, getting pissed right up, going out and eating in the evening, getting pissed up again, sleeping in late, lying by the pool, getting pissed up again, and you do that for 2 weeks, and when you come home, you're knackered.
Absolutely. Well, it takes 2 or 3 days to unwind.
Yeah.
And forget your daily grind. And then the last 3 or 4 days, you're thinking about what I'm going to do when I get back, what I've got to do, what work, and this, that, and the other. So you're only taking it off your mind. Like I say, Britain, there's so much in the UK to look at.
That means a lot to me as an Irishman, because Ireland and the UK are very similar in terms of we're obviously islands. We've got beautiful countryside, beautiful coastal places to see. And yet, so many of my friends, and even myself, Sean, I've not explored very much of my own country. I haven't. I'd be the first to admit that. Outside of going to Kerry and outside of going to Clare and to Donegal and maybe to Dublin and Cork, I've not seen much of the Midlands. And we've got some unbelievable countryside and villages and all, as you have here, and yet we don't know too much about it. So I'm with you. I'm going to move on, my friend, unless there's something you want to get out really quickly before I move on.
Just one more thing. The other big guy for many years I used to listen to was Alex Jones, until he became Radio Trump. Trump's gone. I think he's touching on things that he used to touch on before, but. A lot of that was like panic and interesting to listen to other people's point of view. And once he's got away from his politics. But great to speak to you, Richard.
Oh, it's great to speak to you, Sean. Glad you called in, mate. Thanks for that. And all the best.
Thanks for listening to you, Big Baldy Gammon.
Thank you very much. I'm the one and only, the Big Baldy Gammon. That was Sean in Bradford there. And it threw me there with the mention of Ken O'Keefe. God love Ken, wherever he happens to be. In the world. I mean that, by the way. I don't wish anybody any ill will at all. The chap came on with me a few years ago. It went very badly for him. I didn't take any pleasure in that. And I've not given him a second thought since, really. But I hope he's well, wherever he is. It's at BBG Richie on Twitter. Thanks for the calls we've had so far. There was something I wanted to mention, but it's gone right out of my mind now, which means it can't be of any interest anyway. Okay, now, hang on a second now. Is that the one? Because Elizabeth is in Madrid and is trying to get through. I'm going to try and get Elizabeth on. Is in Madrid, that's the capital of Spain, by the way, in case you don't know that. Let's get Elizabeth on the line. The meme is at the top of Twitter. It's at the top of YouTube as well. What's wrong with me today? My brain is in meltdown. I'm doing it all myself, you see. It's difficult to manage a live phone-in show when you've got no producer, you've got no editor. You're doing it yourself. That's my excuse anyway. We might have Elizabeth in Madrid. Do we have Elizabeth in Madrid?
I believe you do.
Get in there. How are you? And welcome.
I am doing okay.
You don't sound very Spanish to me, Elizabeth.
No, I'm actually Dutch.
You're Dutch.
But I lived in America for many, many years, so that's why I have an American accent.
Getting that little bit of a twang there. Yes, I have a little bit of a twang. So where in the States were you based?
In the Midwest. So, you know, in the center, Minnesota and Michigan.
And then you went to Spain. No, I can't blame you for moving to Spain to live.
I lived
there myself.
I lived in the Netherlands. I lived in Switzerland. Then I moved to the U.S. Then I moved to Greece. Then I moved back to the Netherlands. And now I'm in Germany and then Spain.
Dare I ask if there was multiple relationships involved in this traveling?
Yeah.
Of course there was.
I have an American husband. I have a Greek husband.
Fantastic.
Now I have a Spanish one.
I hope you cleaned them all out, Elizabeth. I hope you did.
No, I didn't do that well in that regard, but that's okay.
That sounded very misogynistic, didn't it? But now, you told me something very important via Twitter the other day about how crazy things are getting in your adoptive Spain. What's going on there?
Okay, well, the rules are basically we have a toque de queda, which is curfews, and it's different per region. In Madrid, it's 11 p.m., so everything is shut down. The roads are empty. Everything is gone. It depends on where you are. In Andalusia, I believe it's now 9 o'clock in the evening. The other things that we have is we cannot travel between regions. So even though tourists can now come in for Easter vacation, we couldn't go to Marbella, for example,
no way,
to have our Easter vacation. So, you know, the rules are still pretty stringent. Stuff is open. It's not like in the Netherlands where you have to make an appointment and online, and then you get a half an hour of shopping time and you have to race through, you know, IKEA to get whatever you want. So it's not quite like that. We have the bars and restaurants are open, but of course they have to close down, only 6 people to a table. Masked up at all times, except when you're eating or drinking. And now the new rules about even if you're exercising, you know, in the forest by yourself, you have to wear a mask. They just changed that about a week or so ago. On the beach, if you're sunbathing, you must wear a mask, even into the water, possibly. I don't know if they're actually
I think they might have rolled back on the beach mask wearing, as far as I know now, because when you told me that, you were backed up by facts because you were telling the truth. It was in the news, but I think there was such an outcry over the masks on the beaches that I think they held back on that. But pretty much everything else you've described is bang on. And I'll tell you what.
The mask, by law, it's still correct. You do have to wear it outdoors.
Ah.
I think what's happening is that the police are not enforcing
it. That makes sense.
What they call a BOE, a B-O-E, that's actually when they sign a law into practice, that it's still actually on the law that it says that.
That makes sense now, Elizabeth. That makes more sense. Yeah. So the law is the same. They want you to wear the masks on the beach, but they're not as quick to enforce it because of the backlash. Tell you what I don't understand. Living in Spain for years, okay, we were on the Costa del Sol West. So, yes, we were surrounded by many English people, many Irish people, many Dutch people, many German people. But we did know some Spanish people and we got to know Spain driving around it, driving away from the coast. I'm amazed that the Spanish people have taken this nonsense and have not pushed back harder against it, that they're just accepting
it. Well, I'm surprised too. I mean, on the one hand, I thought, well, their history of dictatorship should have taught them something. Something must be left in their genes. But they are completely compliant. I am literally the only one walking to the supermarket without a mask on. Okay, once inside, I must wear it because I need to eat, and my family does. But I'm literally the only one. And I sometimes get people screaming at me, mascarilla, mascarilla, which I ignore. I pretend I don't hear it or I don't suddenly speak a word of Spanish. So, you know.
And what about exemptions, Elizabeth?
I mean, across the street. No, they don't do exemptions.
They don't do exemptions.
If you go to the doctor, they don't do it. My daughter goes to a school here, and she has to.
We just dropped out there, Elizabeth.
So we took her to the doctor, hoping. Pardon me?
You're back. You just dropped out for 5 seconds, but you're going to tell us about your daughter. Go ahead. You're back in the room.
Yeah, my daughter in has to do gym class with a mask on. And she was getting nauseous and lightheaded, headaches. So we took her to a doctor asking, you know, can we do something? Can we have her exempted during gym or something? Or just take her out of gym altogether, you know? Do something else, a book report on volleyball, who cares? But no, they won't sign it. The doctor just basically said, well, you know, she'll just have to try and relax and, you know, breathe more slowly. I mean, that was his advice. And the only other thing we could do is take her. And if she has asthma, maybe we could do something. But she doesn't. She's perfectly healthy. She just is struggling with a mask on.
Doing sport wearing a mask, Elizabeth, is dangerous. Yes. I don't have to tell you that.
No, it's I know. Insane. I'm very pissed off about it. And the other thing I guess I wanted to say is you asked, would you ever take the vaccine? Well, my answer is absolutely not.
No
and
way.
I have family everywhere. I have none in Spain, nothing. I barely have any friends because I moved here shortly before the first lockdown. So, you know, I have very few contacts, but screw it. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not even getting nose raped to go anywhere. I'm not even going to do any tests, nothing. My only
I love your description. I love your description of the test. Nose raped. That'll do me. Nose raped. It is. It's disgusting. This isn't it? Because I'm not going to break into a rant again. I'm not. I've already done it. The idea, the data is there. Every country has uploaded the data onto its government websites. It's there for any Tom, Dick or Harriet to look at it. This thing, whatever it is a mild respiratory infection and it's of no danger to the vast majority of us. So why should we be subjected to that? You know, don't you, that they want people in this country to take two tests a week now.
Yes, that's insane. That's insane. I mean, I would be testing the cat turds, you know, that I have saved up for them. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, so many people are going to do that as well, you know, just as a joke. Or how about the papaya, you know, that the Tanzanian president did, you know, the goat.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
he's no longer with us, sadly. But, you know, that's just crazy. I would not even accept any testing.
How does your Spanish husband feel about this?
He's a little bit more compliant than I am, but he's pretty much on board with me. But, you know, he's more... You know, he's more pragmatic than I am. I get very emotional and pissed off. And
like me, I'm the highly strung one. I'm the highly strung one in our relationship. My other half is the laid back one. So he's the laid back one then.
Yeah.
He's the diplomat.
I just put it on, you know. Oh, there's a police car. Put it on.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll put it under my nose, you know, for 5 seconds till the police car passes just to keep peace in the house.
But, yeah.
You know, no, I'm not going to comply in any sense. But the concern is, of course, you know, with Agenda 2030, they're going to want to force us all into, you know, cities and what have you. And one of my concerns is that they will say at some point, obviously not next year, I hope, that if you have private property, even if it's paid off, you will have to forfeit it if you do not get vaccinated and get with the program. And with all these empty office buildings now, empty buildings, you know, force you into, here's your little quarters. You unvaccinated heathen, you know, that's your new spot in life.
I mean, that's an extreme, you know, scenario, but I'm not going to dismiss that. But I hope you're wrong, Elizabeth. I tell you what.
I hope at some point
people will wake up to it. Do you know what they're going to do here? And I've not gotten into this in the program because I've not been able to get my ducks in a row and get my research so that when I'm presenting it that I know I'm not giving any misinformation. One of the things they're going to do here is they're going to make it impossible for people to sell or to buy a house. And you know how they're going to do that? We're 2 years into a mortgage in Salford, which we know is completely illegal and disgraceful and all the rest of it. We know that, but we had no choice. We were renting and it was killing us. We were paying a fortune. So we got a mortgage, small mortgage. Anyway, here we are. What they're going to do in the very near future, in fact, in the next 2 years, they've admitted this, is they're going to tell every homeowner in the country that they're going to have to replace their central heating system with new environmentally friendly heat pumping systems, which is going to be prohibitively expensive. Now, you can always say, well, I don't have the 25, because apparently it's going to be about £25,000 on average to do this to your house. So, of course, you could be like big old baldy me and say, well, I'm not having it. Problem is, you'll never sell your house then, ever. You're stuck with
it. They're actually already doing that in the Netherlands. Any new builds, they're in the process. The program has already started. It's about €40,000 to change to a heat pump. And any new constructions, and I know some relatives who are, you know, big greenies that, you know, drive me nuts about, yeah, the climate. Greta.
Greta.
You know, they're all doing it. save Greta.
They're going along with it, even though they know it's insane. And of course, if we get, if the Maunder minimum is a real thing, if they're going to freeze to death in 10 years' time, if it's real, that is. And I've had some very interesting people speak on our programme who believe that it's real, including Professor Anastasia, whose surname I can't remember, who's done the mathematics on it and is convinced that it's going to happen. A cold snap for a few years. Because apparently, Elizabeth, the heat pumps reduce the heating by 10 degrees, right? Something along those lines, which means that, you know, for young folks like you and me, we can put some woolly jumpers on. But our senior relatives, God love them, most of them, when they're very, very old, are skin and bones, right? They're going to freeze.
Right.
They're going to freeze.
Absolutely.
What a lunatic asylum. Yeah.
I mean, it is definitely a depopulation agenda. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, that, you know, I mean, that other thing that I mentioned, a dystopian aspect about moving us all into little blocks of flats. That's in my most dystopian nightmare.
Human settlement zones. David Icke used to call them, human settlement zones.
I try to be more positive, obviously.
But listen, it's all there. It's funny, I read an article in The Telegraph the other day by Tim Stanley. And I used to get on well with Tim. He used to speak to me on my radio show when I was based in Spain. I still like him, but he took a really cheap shot at David Icke in an article the other day where he said that this government, by doing the draconian things it's doing, it's given David Icke chapters for his new books. And I thought that was pathetic. Rather than say what the government is doing is going to give ammunition to people like David Icke, why don't you have some courage and say, well, Jesus, David Icke was right all along, wasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been following him for a long time. And yeah, I had a bit of an issue at first about the reptilian thing. But after I thought about it, I thought, well, you know what? These people are cold and heartless. And what are reptiles? You know, they think with their reptilian side of their brain. Maybe he had a vision.
Yeah.
You know, I can't argue with how he sees these people. I might call them just, you know, plain evil people, but you know his vision is that he sees them as reptilian types.
This
okay,
is it.
So be it.
I don't buy the reptilian thing.
With the
absolutely.
Water, you know?
We used to talk about this, and I used to say to him years ago, "I don't buy this reptilian thing." It didn't bother him in the slightest. Why would it? I still don't buy this reptilian interdimensional aliens. I don't dismiss it because I don't dismiss anything, but I don't see that being a thing. But and I suppose it's been a barrier to David, hasn't it, in some ways, to certain people taking up the books and looking into them because of that. And of course, some people say that that David is some sort of a shill because all this reptilian stuff. But that's not true. He believes every single word of it and makes his compelling case for it. But the fact is,
I'm not even sure that that would be such a huge difference if he had said that or not. I think it's an excuse for, you know, newspapers to say that.
Yeah,
because
could
look
be right
at what's
too,
happening
yeah.
now. I mean, people are swallowing everything hook, line, and sinker, and MSM isn't talking about, you know, reptilians versus, you know, the reptilian flu or whatever. I mean, I'm not making a very good analogy.
No, it's good. No, I get you. Loud and clear. I hear you.
You know, the point is there's so much real information out there, medical. I mean, I'm a voracious reader. I used to get punished as a child for reading too much, if you can believe that. So I love reading. I read about anything, medical, it doesn't matter. Anything is, you know, up for grabs. And there's so much information out here. I mean, we have two friends via my husband. They're both doctors. They both taken both shots. Both
wow.
of them. And the guy wouldn't even talk to me about it because, you know, I like to have discussions with him because his English is pretty good. And I've seen him once since the lockdown. Only once.
Only one
because
time.
They're afraid. And he's a freaking doctor.
Afraid. Yeah, I see it around here. I run every day. I haven't taken a day off in weeks and weeks. And I don't care if people think that's silly. I do it anyway because I enjoy being out in the fresh air. And I'm running down very populated Salford into Manchester, into the outskirts of Manchester city centre. And people are still jumping off the footpath or the pavement to get away from me in the open air.
They circle around me too with
madness.
My little shopping cart and no mask on. I just give them a big smile.
Yeah. I used to smile. I'm saying nasty things now. No, I am, and I'm not even doing it under my breath. I just can't. I couldn't care less anymore. You know, you're a moron. If you think that I represent some threat to you, that I'm some biohazard, you know, out and about running, you must be out of your mind. So I'm not having it, Elizabeth. I'm going to take another call. Before I do, is there anything you want to say before we go? I'm glad that we met, by the way. It's nice to put a voice to the tweets.
Your show is fantastic. Your guests are fantastic. The callers are fantastic. The only thing I wanted to mention is the vaccine passport. I just think it's more a ruse to get us to be tracked. And with the 5G going to be online in the very near future, look at how they removed menus off of the tables. It's not because of bacteria. That's for you to use your phone to get the menu. They'll be able to track you. They'll be able to see, oh, you had lunch with Carlos and Paloma and so and so. You did that at 5:15. You did that. It's just a track and trace you.
I never considered that, by the way. Thank you for that. Never occurred to me that just removing the menus and getting you to order from your smartphone is just more surveillance. Excellent. Yes. Why not?
Yes, just a thought. I could say more about it, but please take another caller because they're all very interesting too.
Well, thanks, Elizabeth.
And thanks a lot.
Lovely to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
All the best for now. That was Elizabeth there, whom, again, I know through Twitter. I mean, I know thousands of our listeners through Twitter, don't I? Because a lot of you engage with me during the programme. It is exactly 20 minutes to 7 o'clock. It is the Richie Allen Radio Show. And I'm live from a sunny but cold but chilly Salford. He's not been on with me for ages, so I'm going to give him a shout now, if I can get him on. It's none other than Scottish John, and he's in Austin, Texas. And I'm glad I got you on, my friend. How are you?
All right, Richie.
Good to hear from you. I saw you trying to ring in there a while back. I thought I'll get him on before because it's been a while since you were on.
Thanks.
I'm good, pal. How are you? How are things in Austin?
Well, you know, I'm just, God blimey, mate. Mental, absolutely mental. Christ, if you've got a week, I'll tell you about it, mate. But just quickly.
Hang on a second before you tell me it's mental. As far as I'm reading, and I do read the American press, things are opening up there. It's better there than it is here, or am I getting it wrong?
Well, there really wasn't a massive close down in the first place. Not that I was aware of anyway. I mean, I've always been able to go grocery shopping. Now, just a few weeks ago, I finally got my hip replacement surgery done about five weeks ago.
Ooh, how are you feeling now?
Oh, I'm feeling great, man. Feeling great. It's brilliant. I can't believe how good I bloody feel. But round about then, the governor of Texas was issuing a mandate saying that masks were no longer necessary, no longer compulsory, right?
Yeah, this is Rick Santorum, is it? Is that the guy's name?
No.
Not anymore, no.
No, Santorum, I know who you're talking about.
I'm a moron.
Christ, I can't remember his bloody name, the governor of Texas. He's not a very popular character, but
Rick Perry is the guy. Rick Perry.
No, he's an old governor.
Is he? Is it Greg Abbott? Greg Abbott, that's the guy.
Greg Abbott. There you go. Yeah, Greg Abbott. And his sidekick, Elvis Costello. There you go.
So he said, no masks anymore. That sounded good, right?
But right away, I don't know about other places in Texas, but here in Austin, the mayor, Steve Adler, I believe his name is, and a judge, one of the judges, one of the county judges and someone else, they objected to this right away. I don't know how that's panned out, but what's happened in my case, masks are still mandatory in the grocery stores that I go to. Now, I haven't been to them since I had my operation because I've been ordered to take it easy, and I have visits from therapists a couple of times a week. But I'll be going tomorrow. But what I always did, Richie, just to avoid aggro, was I would wear the mask over my mouth. I wouldn't cover my nose.
Yeah.
So that kept me out of trouble.
And breathe through your nose as opposed to breathing through your
mouth.
But
at the same time, man, it's the mental stress it causes you having to do this, to comply with something. you know is utter BS.
This is huge that you're saying this. This is the, I mean, you've nailed it. It's a terrible thing to do. We do, as human beings, most of us don't like being told what to do anyway, full stop, no matter what it is. But when you're being told to do something that you know is not only ridiculous and foolish, but it's also tyrannical, it's very hard to come to terms with that. Yeah, I agree with that. It's very well put that. Last August, when we went to the Lake District for our very brief summer holiday, it killed me seeing what was going on up there, you know. It killed me that the week we were there, we only got to have one little meal. We were up there with our two dogs, so we were outdoors anyway. And we were told, you can't come inside, you can't do this. Only one of you at a time. And, you know, there's a queue for the bathrooms and you got to keep your distance. All this bullshit, it drove me mad, John.
Yeah.
Complying with it. Because I had to comply to a certain... I didn't wear a mask, obviously. But to a certain degree, you have no choice but to comply. And it drove me mad, yeah. And Texans and Southern people, you'd imagine. You hear all these things about, you know, the South. Again, we talking with Elizabeth about Spain. I would have imagined that people in the South would have been less likely to comply with this garbage, John.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, they're even... I'm hearing talk now on that... that network that your old buddy Mike Rivero's on, there's people on there talking about Texas seceding from the Union. And I'm thinking, well, if you haven't got the balls to stop wearing a frigging mask, man, how are you going to be successful with a bloody secession from the Union? It's just utter crap. And here's another thing that pisses me off, Richie. You know, that RBN network that Rivero's on, they're obviously Republican supporters. And there's so many of the callers that call in, and even some of the hosts, they're still bitching and moaning about the election stolen from Trump.
As if it matters.
I'm thinking, move on, people. You know, it's like I said to one of them a while back, one of the hosts, who I was quite friendly with for a while, actually. I says, you know, if you ask me what my impression of America was, it's like, to me, America is like a kind of middle-aged woman who's suffering from various cancers in her body. And she just ignores that, but she never misses a trip to the beauty store once a month.
Brilliant.
That's the mentality that I see around me, you know?
I had a very serious incident about 2 years ago. Got very serious here. Some, I suppose, Zionist guys in the Northwest took umbrage at some of the things I was saying about Israel. And one of them did some very silly things and did all that he could to try and get me off the air. All sorts of stuff was going on. It doesn't matter anyway. But I sent him an email recently, this guy who happens to be Jewish. And I said, how do you feel about all this identity politics bollocks now with everything that's going on? Do you really believe that you, as a Jewish guy, or do you believe that black men and women, or do you believe that Asian people are somehow victims or somehow targeted people now in this day and age, in this age of coronavirus? Do you not see how silly all of it is, really? That what we're seeing now is where this was meant to go. It's an agenda that doesn't discriminate against anybody. It's going to destroy everybody with no exemptions if it isn't stopped. I obviously didn't expect to hear back from the guy, but I'm saying it to more and more people now who are mired in the quicksand of identity politics, John. You know, oh, I'm a woman and I'm being harassed on the street, misogyny. Oh, I'm a black guy and I'm being stopped and searched and all this crap. Oh, I'm a Christian and I'm being targeted because I'm a Christian. You're a bunch of morons. Look what's going on around you. You know, you're not a victim. You're not exclusively a victim. And I wonder, as this plays out, will more and more people wake up to that fact and get out of their identities and their narcissism? You know, because if they don't, mate, there's no recovering this situation. I don't. And now that you're on, you, of course, being a Celt, what about back home, John? I mean, if it comes to pass that you can't travel, any of us, anywhere in the world, unless you can show that you've had one of these poisonous, toxic, crap vaccines, what might that mean for you?
Well, it won't affect me, Richie, because I don't think I would ever be coming home to Scotland again. I would like to, and I would love to visit some of my relatives in Northern Ireland. One of my cousins recently asked me that, have you any plans in coming over? And I just said, Jacqueline, I would love to, but I don't see it happening, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm just more concerned, Richie. I'm not too bothered about myself personally. You know, I'm no youngster, but I think I'm in pretty good health, which actually might be a bad thing in the long run, because I could live for another 20, 25 bloody years if I don't have a nervous frigging breakdown. That's what I'm worried about. The mental frigging stress of this shit just drives me nuts. But, like, I listened to you when the show started today, and I'm sitting here thinking, God almighty, man, you just have some resolution. I know the pressure you must be under. And I think, as a couple of previous callers said, you handle it wonderfully. And I'll just be another one that says, you know, we love and respect you so much for what you do, because we all know that it ain't easy and it is stressful. But God damn it, man, you're a diamond, an absolute diamond.
It's nice to have a space where, I mean, one of the things I've learned, thanks very much for saying that. One of the things I've learned in the last year is that it's more important now than ever to realise that you're not crazy, to realise that you're not. I think Dr. Vernon Coleman signs off his videos by telling people, you're not on your own, you know, you're not mad. And if this programme has had any value in the last year, it's not so much because we heard from people like Dolores Cahill and others, very important, but it's also because people like us get to hear from logical people speaking about the things that we believe to be true or that we believe to be happening. And that's why it's important, John, I think more than anything. Because you listen to UK commercial radio, Irish commercial radio, there's obviously no space for these discussions, none whatsoever. You have doctors being called COVID deniers. You've had people being called crazy. We've had doctors, you know, who've been threatened with their license for asking these questions. So I think if there's any value to a programme like this now, and I don't know if it's, you know, I used to get really worked up about this, you know, but now I've made my peace with it, is that it's just basically a place now where we can hang out, I think, you know, with people who don't see us as being lunatics. That's how I see it, you know, but it's pretty nice of you to say that.
You know, I'm 70. I'll be 71 this July. But I remember when I retired at 65, and probably I don't know how many people, but you just kind of, there's something that happens. You say to yourself, well, here's me. I'm entering the last chapter of my life here, you know. And what I want to know is, I want to know the truth about things before I die. And lots of things have been resolved like that. I mean, I found out, just for grins and giggles, Winston Churchill. You know, I'm one of these generations that I grew up being told that Winston Churchill was a bloody hero. And now I find out he was a freaking arsehole, man.
The genocidal maniac.
So many things like that. And, I lost my bloody track there. But, yeah, I want the bloody truth. Now, 5-6 years ago, I had no idea that this was coming down the bloody pike, this COVID crap. Holy Jesus. Now, I like to have the radio on when I go to bed at night for some background noise. Otherwise, my mind just goes wandering all over the place and I'll never get to sleep. So I have this, what they call NPR on here, Richie, National Public Radio. And what they do overnight is they play the BBC World News.
All right. The BBC program. World Service, yeah.
And it is absolute crap, absolute propaganda from, did you hear last night? I heard there was 4,000 COVID deaths in Brazil yesterday.
That's right, they've claimed that today, that's right, yeah.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing, when we first heard recently, I don't know how many months ago it was, there's the South African strain and the Brazilian strain. So I did what I did because I never thought of doing it, but when I found out that Britain didn't have a team at those military games in Wuhan, I thought to myself, well, how the hell is this COVID spread the length and breadth of the country when we weren't there?
Yeah.
And then likewise, I found out that South Africa and Brazil weren't at the Wuhan games either. And I never hear anyone talk about this. And it drives me bloody. I talk about it to some of my neighbours, and the reaction I usually get is, Oh, well, it might have been tourists. I'm thinking, tourists. So you believe there may have been a handful, let's say as many, say there was 50 tourists from Brazil had been at Wuhan. 50 tourists go back to Brazil and spread this bloody mysterious virus the length and breadth of the country. How is that possible? Because if that virus is so potent, they'd all be lying dead in the bloody street.
Yeah, that's
but
right.
But they can't get it, man. Bring they can't wrap their heads around it.
No, they can't. They can't. And I don't know what else people like us can do to convince people when the information is on the government's own websites. It's not a case of, hey, listen to this guy on BitChute or listen to this woman on YouTube. It's actually look at the government's own numbers. Look at the fact that mortality in the UK so far in 2021 is down overall compared to the last 4 or 5 years. You can't speak to people with. It's like they want to hear it. And I think that before we go, because I'm running out of time, John, before we go, I think one of the reasons for this is, and I've said this before, it doesn't mean I'm right, for some people to accept that something is really, really wrong is a terrifying thing, because the next step is, well, what do I do about it? And I don't think people want to go there. You know, they don't want to go there, because if you accept that tyranny reigns supreme at the moment in the UK and in the world, if you accept that, well, then somehow the onus might be on you to do something about it. And that's what people don't want to contemplate. 30 seconds, my friend. Final word to you. And I'm glad that your operation went well, buddy. And I hope the recovery goes well. Go on.
Remember Spiros told you about his meeting with, the guy for
the
Polls.
Shane McGowan, yeah.
Shane McGowan. And I texted you and promised you I'd tell you a story about me and Freddie Mercury. I went to London in 86, and I was there like 2 days, and I heard Chris Tarrant on Capital Radio saying, look, Queen are shooting a video tomorrow, and if you want to be in it, come down to the station, get a ticket, and up you go. So I get up there. Long story short, I end up being first in there, and I get right front and centre by the stage. And there's a couple of girls come in beside me, and they're trying to shove me out of the way so they can get close to Freddie when he comes down the wee catwalk thing there. And eventually, they do. He's fannying about, and they manage to get a hold of Freddie, and they're pulling him off the stage. And just instinctively, I kind of duck my head and put my hands up, and there's me standing there with Freddie's wedding tackle in my right hand, mate.
And this is true now, right?
Yo. Well, no, that's not included in the video, but it was a song called Friends Will Be Friends.
Friends Will Be Friends, yeah, A Kind of Magic, the album, 1986, yeah. Wow, John.
There you go.
Well, there's no beating that story, not today anyway. Mate, good luck with the physiotherapy and the hip, and I'm sure we'll chat again in the near future.
All right, mate.
And thanks
all
for
the
kind
Richie.
Words. Thanks, John. Bye for now. John, that's John in Austin in Texas. Thanks to him. I've just read the most naive comment I've ever read on Twitter, and I don't say this now to be cruel at all, because I'm not cruel, not by nature. It's somebody called DJ Stanny on Twitter, and he says, great phone in, but any chance of getting someone on who actually opposes you about all of this? The phone in is open, Stanny, so anybody who disagrees with me can phone in and disagree with me. He goes on to say, a lot of these people suck up to you. Personally, I agreed with a lot you say, but there's no opposition. It's like the BBC. That's incredibly naive. Do you not think that I've invited onto the programme journalists and academics who are behind the COVID scam? Of course I have. They're not inclined to come on. And they're not inclined to come on because on the rare occasion they do come on, they get absolutely vilified in the press for coming on with me in the first place. This is the paradox. I would kill to have people from officialdom or from official sources coming on this programme every day to debate me about this stuff, but they don't. The last time somebody who was pro-coronavirus, pro-lockdown, pro-mask wearing came on the programme, that was former UK Minister Edwina Curry, and she hung up on me when she couldn't argue with me. I'd love them to come on, Stanny. I'd love to be arguing with these people pretty much day in, day out, but they won't come on this programme. Yeah, all right, okay. A bit naive there, son. A little bit on the naive side. Thanks very much to the callers, every one of you. I really appreciate your time. coming on and telling me your thoughts, or sharing your thoughts with me, I should say, on what's going on. Thanks for doing it. That's the end of the programme. I'm back with you tomorrow for the final programme for over a week, because next week I'm on my holiday, my longed for holiday, my much needed holiday. But I'm with you tomorrow at 5 o'clock as usual. So until then, thanks for being with me. Look after yourselves and one another, and enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. Bye for now. Do-